Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, Pastor Byron is sharing a message for the church. I trust the Lord uses it to encourage and build you up. And now, this week's message.
Father God, as we put together this message for today, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name, it will fall on receptive hearts, that our hearts might be changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time I spoke to y'all was Pentecost Sunday. And in that message, I mentioned some of the vision for TGP. Loving God and loving people, and foundation in prayer and worship, that our worship would be amazingly driven by the Holy Spirit, by our opening up like we just did to the body of Christ, so that we can be more connected with each other and know what's going on in our lives and bring glory to His name and His faithfulness and His goodness, and that we're a church that wants to equip the saints in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're operational and they're available to the whole body of Christ, and they should be operational in the whole body of Jesus Christ. It's not just for the pastors or leaders, it's for the body to have life and to build up the body in Jesus' name. And then, so we mentioned some of those things, but in that message, when I listened to it over again, you know, it's amazing to listen to yourself, but I know one thing is, don't start having conversations with yourself. Have conversations with the Almighty and bring Him in relationship to you. What I didn't do last Pentecost Sunday, was expound on the love of God and the love of people, which I think is a really marker of what this church is. A lot of people that come here for the first time, they connect with the love of God and the love of people. But I said, as I listened to the message that I gave, at that point I said, that could be a message in itself. So the Holy Spirit then was connecting with me all week and saying, now's the time to give a message about the love of God and how we love one another. And I think it's a timely message. It's something that I believe we're mastering, but it could always get better. Because there's always an assault on God's love and love for one another. And that's going to be just something about life, and we'll get into that in this message. But the love of God is so amazing to each of us individually, and I just want to share that a week ago or so, I had an echocardiogram to just follow the progress of an aneurysm I had in my aorta. And the doctor, after it was tested, he let me rest over the week and said, you know, things are looking better. This last Friday, the doctor called me and we were on the phone for over half an hour. And he said he wanted to share something with me. And a lot of conversation, our cardiologist is a believer, so a lot of conversation was about what God's doing in your life and how's it going and how He's going in this family. But he said, now let's get down to when we tested you. And he said, when we tested you, I want to let you know, Byron Barcalis, that the aneurysm has vanished and no longer there. That's the God of love that we serve. The God of love that we serve. You know, when they make films in the movie theaters or wherever we go, in the TV or whatever, you always wonder about what is that starting scene? Where does it start? Where it starts is to give you a glimpse of the journey to that film, and then it comes to a conclusion. Well, I had to start somewhere, as I asked the Holy Spirit, I had to start somewhere to talk about where does, in Scripture, do we talk, where does love start? Where do we see that evidence of sort of a starting point? And it's found way back in Genesis. And it's found in a man called Abraham, which is mentioned all the way into the new covenant of his walk in faith. And it talks about a relationship that this man had with the God, the Father Almighty, and it was a close connection, him and Abraham. It was such a connection that when he was living in a faraway land, all of a sudden God started this relationship with him. He said, pack up all your family and go to a place where you don't even know where you're going, but pack up and leave. And he left, and then later on in his life in Genesis, we find out he was given a son called Isaac. And when Isaac was a young boy, it said God came to him to find out what was going on in his heart, where he was in this intimate relationship with him. And he says he came to him and says, take Isaac to a place and I'll show you where it is when you get there. And I want you to sacrifice your son before me. And I'm sure Abraham thought, boy, this doesn't sound like a loving God. This doesn't sound like something that would come from him. But because of the intimate relationship he had with the Father, and because he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, he started his journey. He took two servants, his son Isaac, and headed for this place that God would reveal to him. When he came to that place, he saw this mound, and the Holy Spirit of the Father revealed to him, you go up there, and that's where you're going to sacrifice your son to me. Interesting enough, that's Mount Moriah. Interesting enough, that place was the Temple Mount that Solomon built. Interesting enough, that's where God chose to show his presence to the children of Israel, and where a whole city would be built around that, called Jerusalem, which stands to this very day, you know, very thousands of years old, and it remains because we have a promise that our Jesus, the Son of God, will come back down on that mount in that city and declare himself king. Well, so interesting enough in the story that he stops, God shows him the Mount Moriah, said, go out there. And he said something interesting to his servants. He said, you stay here because we are coming back. That would take consideration what later on was spoken by the writer of Hebrews, that he thought even if he slew his son or killed his son, he would raise him up from the dead. He had that confidence when he said to his servants, we will come back after we've worshiped the Lord. So he went up there, and in that journey up, his son says, you know, he was carrying the wood, and he was carrying the fire and the knife. And they were marching up there, and his son was saying, you know, Father, where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, he said, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. That was his conversation with his son. He said, you're wondering where it's going to come from? I'm telling you, I serve a God that will provide. I serve a God that will provide. And he said, and then when it says in Scripture there that he went to get a hold of the knife, and all of a sudden he heard an angel speak to him and said, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And God provided a lamb, a ram, that was caught in a thicket. And then the angel of the Lord came to Abraham and said, you know what, when I see your faith, your heart, your love for God, I will bless you and bless all your descendants. And they will be like the sands of the seas and the stars in the sky. And you know what? And that is speaking more even beyond Israel. It's beyond the Lamb of God that came to save the world, Jesus Christ. And all those that are following him are part of that covenant promise that was made to Abraham. And in fact, when he left that place, Abraham called it, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And I want to just make a note that, you know, I got fine here in front of me. You know, when all of us who have children and raising our children up, we need to literally give them in the hands of the Lord. And I'm saying give them completely into the hands of the Lord, that the Lord will be their God. And the Lord will save them. Earlier this morning, when we were in the 8:30, 9:30, I just heard, raise up the child in the way he will grow, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it. It's that, but you know, it's a parent turning over like he was willing to put Isaac on the altar. We need to be willing to put our children on the altar and have confidence in that God of love, that he will prevail. In Micah, it says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I'm sure Abraham, after he experienced this experience with his son Isaac and God's provision, that he could see more clearly that God's a God of mercy. God's a God of mercy and love and provision. And then carrying over into the new covenant, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10:37, anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves sons and daughters more than me is not worthy of me. It makes sense. What Abraham did, starting out the foundationally of the man of faith, where his faith counted to him as righteous, in connection, in intimacy with God, that what Jesus was asking them to do was in complete connection, because God wants all our heart and soul and mind. It says in Matthew 22:37-38, and Jesus replied, Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And this is the just the connection with God and knowing his love for us. And his love for us deserves our giving him all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And when that happens, we'll be greatly equipped to combat fear and hatred in Jesus' name. Then he goes on, that's where love starts. And then we go on a journey where love is, where is it demonstrated? How do we as TGP, how do we as a people that once we're connected with him, allowing him to fully be operational in our heart, mind, and soul, how's that demonstrated? How does that look? How does that look in our lives? You know, and really, you know, we're just, you know, looking, we can't, trying to prepare this, we could be talking here for hours. But I just want to pick out a few things, how that love that's been placed in our heart, how's it demonstrated? What does it look like? In 1 Peter 1:22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you may have a sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart or from deep within you. Where, how does that work? It says you have purified yourself not by your works, but by obeying the truth that Jesus has made you righteous. When you know that you've been made righteous, you will have a capacity to love people deeply. Because you'll be secure in yourself. You won't be insecure in yourself. Then in 1 Peter chapter 4, 8, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. This is the Word of God is saying, don't spend your time focusing on your faults and mistakes. Spend your time focusing on who He made you. Who He made you. You've been washed clean. You've been delivered. You have been brought to a place where you're totally accepted by God Almighty. You're in a place that you can have confidence to go to His throne of grace with lots of confidence because He did it all. It's not by your effort, it's by what He did on the cross for you. And it says in Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. You know, it's this love demonstrated to each other where we're not trying to fact-find each other's faults, but finding and developing each other in our walk with Jesus Christ and who He made us. You know, seeing each other as Jesus sees us. In Leviticus 19:18-34, it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Jesus said the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. And then He goes on to say, and when the foreigners are residing among you, you must be treated as a native born. Love them as yourself. For you were forgiven in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So when people come and join us that are come new in here, we're not a cliquey church. When people come in here, how do we demonstrate love? Openly welcoming strangers coming in. And we do a good job at that. And I hope Joel is listening out there, and I don't know where he is in the building, but God loves you, man, and you're welcome here. We're so glad you could join us this morning. It's this disconnect when we're disconnected with people. Oh, and we also have some people on Zoom joining us. Welcome. You're welcome. And someday we pray that you will actually be able to join us here in the building. That's Priscilla. Just Priscilla? Thank you. Priscilla, God bless you, man. So this is the whole body. This is how it works and it functions. This is how we demonstrate. When we're made whole inside, then we can be an instrument of His love to each other, right? In Jesus' name. So now we go into the part that, as followers of Jesus Christ, first of all, intimacy with Him. It's easy to obey a God that loves you. Then, secondly, we looked into how's that look? How's that work? It's a matter of cultivating that love within us. Then we'll be able to equip us to love properly those people that we meet and encounter. Thirdly, love is tested, isn't it? Love is definitely tested. And we have to have the God kind of love to respond to the test of love. The test of love. Matthew 5, 44 and 46. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wow. That's counter to culture. You know, culture would say, hate those that hate you. Do harm to those that persecute you. And our Jesus Christ says through intimacy with him and keeping that love connection with him, and that includes loving ourselves because he loves us, then we can have the right response to the test of love when people will say things about us, will persecute us, and Jesus is saying, that's why love has to be empowered. You can't love the God kind of love on your own. You need the Holy Spirit actively. In fact, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. So it's saying to do this, we have to have intimacy with him, and we to respond correctly to those who persecute or would declare themselves an enemy. He says, if you love those, in 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Not even the tax collectors are doing that. It's easy for sinners to love people that love them. It's not a hard thing. When somebody says they really like you and you like them and the relationship is going, that's an easy thing. That's an easy thing. But he says, but if you love those that only love you, you're not experiencing the fullness of that God would have for knowing him in your heart. Yeah. Knowing him in your heart. Sometimes I say, I think it's a gift. It's a gift developed. I'm old enough to say, sometimes I would seek revenge when I was young, and now I learn that in Jesus' name, that we can get to this place of being just bulletproof to people that would say evil about us. And we would have the correct response. Love tested. Then it goes on in Matthew 22:39, and the second is like the first. We mentioned the first earlier. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. That's where it starts. Now, to have the right effect when tested, Jesus said, this is the second. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know who your neighbor is? Might not be a good one. Could be a fantastic one. But it's a matter of your connection with Jesus Christ in your own heart. Then you can have a right response to your neighbor. Now, I think it was asked in the scripture, who's your neighbor then? Who's your neighbor? And then Jesus went into the story about the Samaritan and giving aid to him. You know, it's about Jesus going to a well when his disciples went out to get food and met a Samaritan woman. That Samaritan woman became his neighbor. And she couldn't figure out. He said, you Jews, you don't have any relationship with Samaritan. But she didn't know who she was standing in front of until he declared, I am the Messiah. Then in John 15:12, my command is this, love each other as I loved you. Back to that connection. When love is tested, you have to go back to the place of how much you know you're loved. How much you know you're loved. You know, for me, it was a very, very dramatic start to walking with Jesus Christ because I had dishonored my parents. I was living an immoral life. I was living all about me. It wasn't about other people. It was all a self-centered life. And when Jesus encountered me with his love, I wept before him. To know, wow, God, you would love a sinner like me. You would, and it was such a defining moment for me that I wept, just tears like floods, and then Jesus filled me with his love. Filled me with his love and began this making me a new creature, making me a new person, taking me to this place where I could have compassion and love, even the people that weren't so nice and not so good. So then in Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrated his love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. You know, it's now this relationship that we have, when tested, we can either fall away or draw closer to Jesus. I propose, draw closer to Jesus. When people call out your faults, draw closer to Jesus, because he's not calling out your faults. He's building you up. He's telling you, you're my sons and daughters. You're my beloved. You're the ones that I love completely. Now, in conclusion, Holy Spirit brought two portions of Scripture to me in concluding. One from Zephaniah and one from Proverbs. It's amazing. It came out of the Old Covenant, because the Old Covenant was established by Jesus Christ coming into this world. And he said, I didn't cancel anything. I'm fulfilling it all. So in Zephaniah 3:17, it says, the Lord your God is with you. Right off. You're not doing life on your own. I'm not doing life on my own. I'm doing life empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm doing life recognized by the King of Kings as a son of God my Father. So he says, the Lord your God is with you. And then later, one of the disciples wrote that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And he says about himself, the mighty warrior who saves. Not only do I have a relationship with a God that loves me, but he's a warrior. He's a defender. He defends me, helps me, encourages me, strengthens me in every task of life. And he will take great delight in you. And amazing how this word this goes. Isn't it amazing to think that when you came into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you allowed him to come in your life, that what he says about you and me, I delight in you. I'm not mad at you. I love you. I delight in you. I'm not angry with you. I paid all the price for all your shortcomings. Come with me. Come and join me. Come and fellowship me. Come and intimacy relationship with me, because I delight in you. And then he said, in his love, he will no longer rebuke you. Wow. No longer rebuke you. He will strengthen you, teach you, lead you, encourage you. But he says of himself, I will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you in singing. You ever think about that? When you and I are going through the most difficult time in our life, you know, music is a motivator. Whether it's Christian or non-Christian, it's still still a motivator. Now, when you and I are going through a real difficult time, maybe our love is tested, Maybe we're doubting our relationship with Jesus Christ and all this stuff because this idea of God's love is challenged. It will be challenged. Take a little time to stop and think about what this verse just says. I will rejoice over you with singing. I don't know what the Father sounds when he sings like. I know how I sound. Nobody really wants that. But I don't know what the Father's voice is, whether it's baritone, tenor, or whatever it is. But just in my mind, I say, wow, God, you're singing a melody over my life. You're singing about me. You're rejoicing about me. Like it says in the scripture, don't disqualify whom I've qualified. You're the apple of his eye. You're the center of his great love. And his heart is to develop that close relationship with him. And I want to let you know, I'm for you, not against you. I'm singing over you. I'm singing over you. And I'm praying for our worship leaders. Some of them are starting to write songs already, and Jonathan's already got some songs working for him, but I'm thinking about this generation now. We need to hear the songs that are coming out of heaven, don't we? We need to hear what that sounds like, the God that we love and serve singing over us. We need to hear the melodies. We need to hear the words that he's singing over us, to encourage us and lift us up on our journey in life. And finally, Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I want to say, as TGP, as we go through life, what do you want to do? What do you want to produce? The fruit of life or the fruit of death? When you sign in with the enemy throwing all his garbage at you, and now you start speaking it out, we as believers can speak death to our life. You know, it's a whole thing. It's a process. It's a process we go through. You know, when I first got examined for the aneurysm that was in the, what they felt was the size that could burst, and if that bursts, you can't get to the hospital in time. You're gone. So I guess the thing is, get past the fear of dying, because all he has is life for us. You know, we just pass from life to life, not from death to death. He says, so there is opportunities in life, isn't there? When we're tested and tried over this love relationship that God has called us into. And now we have to be cautious about what comes out of the mouthpiece. Do we side in with who we're not, or do we side in to who we are? And myself, I'm working on it, and it's a work in progress. But I'm working on speaking life over to my life, not death over my life. You know, and it's something I think we should all diligently seek. We're already a church that people recognize love. They recognize the love of God here, and they recognize the love of each other here. But if we're going to work on that, we have to guard our tongue. We have to guard our tongue. What are we saying about ourselves? What are we saying about other people? And are we speaking to ourselves life? And are we speaking to other people life? No death in the place, in Jesus' name. Father God, make us a people that will empower our tongues to speak life over each other and ourselves. Amen? And that's in conclusion. This topic, I imagine you can do a whole sermon series on it, but I want to encourage people that are listening on a podcast, and if you're here today, and I don't know who's outside, and if you're here today, that this God that wants is in love with you, and he wants you and it's so close to going on this journey of coming into a love relationship, being empowered to live in that love relationship, and be strengthened in the trial of that relationship. That it's near back to words. If we speak with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's where it starts. Like the life and death are in the power of the tongue. First thing you say, Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then it goes to the heart and believe that he raised him from the dead. He's very much alive right now. He's sitting on a throne in heaven. And I guess the next major orders the Son of God is going to have is a Father saying, it's time now to gather your church. So if you pray a simple prayer with your mouth, you could speak the new life that Jesus Christ has for you. And it goes something like this. Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died that I might be loved and forgiven, that all my sins can be washed away by faith in him. I believe that he rose again from the dead and that he is my King and coming King. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, we believe that's the beginning of your journey. That's the beginning of you knowing this amazing God that is in love with you. And that you can be a product to demonstrate his love to others. And you can be encouraged through all the testing that goes along with living on this planet and loving him. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I pray the Lord uses today's message by Pastor Byron to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Gathering Place podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.